When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Blue Noise, the Birmingham City podcast from us here at Birmingham Live. My name's Brian Dick and I'm joined this week by Dele Adebola, currently involved in coaching at several levels, including with the Birmingham City under 18s and under 23s, but perhaps better known as the barnstorming leader of the Blues line in the late 1990s and early 2000s. Dele arrived at Blues in 1998 and played 154 games for the club, scoring 41 times. He'll tell us later about how had he taken penalties and had a little bit more luck with injuries. Both of those totals could have been bigger. In this interview, he recalls how he immediately fell in love with Birmingham City. His memories of that stunning run to the Worthington Cup final, which had such personal significance, and also why he left the club. But he first tells me how growing up in Liverpool, his big dream was to play for the Anfield Giants. Indeed, he played in the same schoolboy system and teams as Robbie Fowler. But first up, he explained why he chose to reject his boyhood club and to go down a different path altogether. Okay, Dele, well, thank you for taking time to speak to us on Blue Noise. I want to take you back to the very start of your even before your career started. You were a young lad growing up in Liverpool. And I understand that you had the opportunity to go to Liverpool. Now, am I right in thinking you were a Liverpool fan, and it was at that point it would have been a dream come true?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I was playing for Liverpool and Liverpool schoolboys and Merseyside schoolboys, and everything was about Liverpool, to be honest. I was still going up to Crewe and to do the odd training session, but I was a massive Liverpool fan.
Mm. So you were given the chance to sign for Liverpool, is that right? Why didn't you take that, what would have been a tremendous opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, training and for Liverpool schoolboys and playing for Liverpool schoolboys, there was some fantastic talents there. Amongst them was Robbie Fowler, who was leading goal scorer at everything he entered. You know, he was absolutely amazing. Even at that age group, you knew he was going to go on to be a top player. And when he was going into training for Liverpool Football Club, he'd get a lift, and you know, it was all about Robbie, and that level of competition. Maybe I should have, you know, no, I shouldn't have. That level of competition would have been stifling to my career. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional footballer, and I couldn't see myself getting into a Liverpool side or competing to along the way with some. Play of that calibre, you know. So when it was offered to me to go to Crewe as opposed to Liverpool, you know, I was told I'd be in the first team by the time I was, before I turned 17, I'd have an opportunity to play first team football.
And was that how it happened? That how was it panned out, didn't it?
Yeah, that exactly panned out. You know, I made my debut when I was around, I think, right at the end of my 16th year. And then, like, I think maybe it was a year later that I was a regular in the first team at Crewe.
Yeah. So whilst it must have been a hard choice, was it? I suppose a year later you're feeling pretty, you're vindicated, are you?
Yeah, and it didn't even pan out like that. It didn't feel like a hard choice. It just seemed like a sensible choice. If my overall objective was to play football, why risk coming out of the game, like, you know, at an early age, not getting an opportunity to play? And that's where I think most of the development of young players is actually out there on the pitch. So to play first team football at such a young age, it gave me an advantage over a lot of pros, even in my age group, who I think probably would have gone on to play professionally and to do well, who maybe have gone to a Liverpool or Everton or Manchester United or Manchester City also.
But you had the platform at Crewe, which basically gave you the rest of your career, didn't it, really? So take you back to, you've been at Crewe several years, and then the opportunity comes to potentially move to Birmingham City. What do you remember of the circumstances around it and what you were feeling at the time?
Yeah, there'd been a lot of speculation of me moving clubs. I think West Ham had maybe a couple of months earlier had shown an interest. I'm not sure if they actually made an offer. And just before I left, there was a couple of Premiership sides, Wimbledon, and there's another two or three, I can't remember the names of, who had sort of put in bids but hadn't matched Crewe's valuation. So a move was about to come about. I had an agent who come about wasn't my proper agent, and he was sort of, you know what, just come for talks. We'll go for talks at Birmingham, and then we'll go to Charlton, who was another club interested, and we'll do it all on the same day. And Dario was resisting that. And then one day I got a call off the agent. He says, it's been agreed, you can go. So I packed a little bag and set off, came up. Birmingham was the first club I came to, and after speaking to Karen and to Trevor and doing my medical and stuff, I didn't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
Like, you know, it was like I loved the atmosphere of the place. I met Trevor, the chairman. It just felt right.
Yeah. And that was very much a team that was trying to get into the Premiership as it was then, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were in and around the playoffs, and he was still building, so it was I think January, February. So I can't remember if there's a transfer window, but definitely it was sort of the final push to try and get into the playoffs or an automatic spot by Trevor and stuff. And just wanted to be part of that.
Was it easy to settle in Birmingham?
Yes, very.
Because your form would suggest that you were happy and you were playing well, so you found it easy.
I think that was one of the biggest things that I loved about here. You know, it was the mix of players were great in terms of the team spirit and the togetherness. We had some really, really big characters.
Can you talk us through who were the dominant voices in the changing room at the time?
How could you talk about Birmingham City about mentioning Magic Michael Johnson, sorry. Probably the single biggest in terms of getting people together. It was just funny. Yeah. We just cracked jokes left, right and centre. Mm-hmm. Always bubbly, always a smile on his face. Me, a young lad coming into an experienced dressing room, feel comfortable. So there was him, Nicky Forster was another one, and the two of them were double act. You know, the laughs and jokes you get off them, it's great. Martin O'Connor, and another funny, but when he needs to be serious, would crack the whip, team captain. And then through the years, you came across a lot of very talented players as well. So, but also, it must have been one of the things the club sort of looked at when they were bringing players in, the character of the individuals, because I can't remember too many people that came with a wrong attitude or who were detrimental to the squad.
Yeah, you had some proper seasoned professionals, didn't you, in that side? I remember it being a side of real grown men, and you look at footballers now, football teams now, and they all look so young, don't they? Yeah. But they were real grown men, weren't they? Your first full season, you scored 17 goals.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have been delighted with that return, would you?
Yeah, I was. You always think you could have scored more. I think I'll be honest, I'd say my finishing could have improved. That was one point where I was very left-footed, and after my injury, I was even more. Mm. But out here on a training ground every day, you've got people in your ear, great experience, the likes of Steve Bruce. We used to travel in with Steve Bruce, Gary Ablett, John McCarthy, big names who've been there and done it in football and gave you advice accordingly, and you know, it was a fantastic experience.
Is it a mystery to you how that side didn't get promotion?
Yeah, you always look back and you think we were always the nearly men, like right up there throughout the whole season, end up in the playoffs somehow, and then, you know, something would go wrong. And for myself, it was very frustrating because of all the playoffs, I'm sure I was injured, like, you know, for most of the playoff games. So I missed a large part of the crucial part of the season. Mm. Through various injuries or some very serious, which affected my career.
They looked at a time when you would leave Birmingham before you did, when Les Palmas came in. What, and that was effectively signed and sealed, wasn't it? Or wasn't it quite that developed?
It was very developed. I'm trying to remember back. Talking about agents, I think the agent I had at the time caused a lot of problems for me at the club, and the relationship between Trevor at the time and my agent probably prompted a lot of that speculation and a lot of other clubs sort of coming in to take me away and stuff. So, you know, I look back again with some regrets in terms of maybe I could have done a bit more to smooth that over and like, you know, but your agent's there to look after you and you know, it's, I suppose it's not your place to run that. The agent should be looking after your best interest. But Las Palmas came about and I went over there and did a medical, and then I actually failed the medical. So they found, I think, something to do with my knee or something. But it didn't go through then.
Right. And you were all set for a life in Spain, were you?
Yes and no. I've gone over there. I didn't think I was going to be signed. I thought I was having a look around the place, and I'd sort of come back and have time to consider it. And I get there, we do a medical, and then you find out that, oh, this is for you to come and sign and move over there. But it didn't come about, so off back to Birmingham for me it was.
Yeah, and these injuries that you mentioned, they is it fair to say they constantly undermined your time at Blues, or after the first initial burst of form?
Yes, definitely. You know, missing, I'm sure we had, was it three playoffs or in the 4 years I was here, involved in three playoffs, I think I only took part in one, and I was coming back from a hamstring injury at the time as well. So I thought at that crucial point in the season, I just wasn't available, and to see, not, you never know if I could have made a difference or whatever, but just to be out there and playing your part would have been, after a season full of seasons worth of football, to miss out on the crucial part, the bit at the end, was very frustrating.
I think you'll be remembered primarily for that Worthington Cup run. I don't know if you'd necessarily highlight that as the high point in your Birmingham City career, but I'll ask you about the Worthington Cup run. What was it like knocking over so many top division sides and scoring important goals on that run that way?
Fantastic. You know, it was amazing the way that the team performed. And again, we were riding high at the top of the division. Some would say maybe it might have been a bit of a distraction as well, but it was great to be involved. And then that culminating in the game against Liverpool, after having knocked out the likes of Ipswich, Newcastle and the likes, Tottenham, along the way, it was fantastic. I think you are right in describing that probably as the highlight of my Birmingham career.
And Liverpool at Cardiff, I mean, for you personally, that is the marriage made in heaven, isn't it? What are your memories of that day?
Turning up and being absolutely amazed by the ground, you know, the fans, the amount of Birmingham fans who went, and I think there's a picture of all the of us lined up with Liverpool, and you know, before you shake hands and stuff, it's just a still picture, and you can see every player is just staring up at like just amazement. The look on everyone's faces and stuff was that made the picture. I've still got that at home somewhere. But fantastic occasion against my boyhood team, playing against Robbie Fowler, who I played with as a schoolboy as well, Stephen Gerrard in that side, a lot of household names who, as a player, you still support on that team as well. Unrivaled.
Yeah, but obviously not the result you wanted. You must have been devastated at the end of that week.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you go in there thinking you've got a chance, and then after so long and you're still in the game, you realise just how big a chance. So the expectancy goes up a notch, and then you go head to head even more. And I mean, you go too deep into it, but a controversial penalty decision all goes to make what a fantastic occasion, and we were his breath away from winning it, really. Yeah. And that would have been an amazing achievement for a Championship side to win that cup.
Mm. And refresh my memory, were you down for a penalty?
No, I never used to take penalties.
No. Everyone looks at the strikers and say they're first up now.
It's a great way of boosting the goals tally, and maybe, thinking about it now, and it's not the first time I've thought about it, but if I would have taken penalties, I would have hit that 20 goal mark, which I found elusive throughout my career. I've hit 17, 18 twice, I think was it 19 actually, and double figures, but never hit 20, and a couple of extra penalties through the season might have, boosted my value a little bit more.
Well, interestingly, it's Steve Claridge remains the last Birmingham City striker to have hit that 20 mark, and that's well over two decades ago. Yeah. So, moving forward into the sort of the end of your Blues career, actually, before we do that, I want to ask you about the fact you seemed always perpetually on the transfer list. Was that Trevor's way of keeping you motivated?
That was his excuse to But I mean, there was a lot behind that story. There was like I said, mentioning agents again. My agent at the time's relationship with Trevor wasn't great, and I seemed to bear the brunt of that. And maybe the accusation I wasn't trying hard enough because he thought I was trying to get away or something. You know, there's a lot of politics behind that people don't see, but it wasn't caused by me per se, but you make your decisions. Another regret is gone with the guy I went with. I say that openly, you know. I think it caused me more problems than it helped me during my time at Blues.
Yeah, you'd like to think that the guy you choose has got your best interests at heart, and if your best interest is staying where you are because you're happy, then that's worth more than a move. Is that the way you feel about it now?
Yeah, definitely. The club did really, really well. It didn't need, I suppose, the distraction, me being distracted by whispers in the ear. And I think a lot of players then, and even more so now, have got to live with that distraction, because the game's moved on again and become even more popular, even more money involved in it. There's even more people with vested interests. So it is a real minefield.
Yeah. And you end up moving to Crystal Palace. With a heavy heart needing the next stage of your career? Or both, maybe?
Yeah, I needed the next stage of my career, but for a different reason, really. It was more... after we talked about the Worthington Cup final and again in going for promotion, I think we were top for large periods of that same season. But I had a very serious injury towards the back end of that season where I tore my cruciate ligament. I spent the next year not playing any first team football. And then when I came back, Steve Bruce was in charge and had got the club promoted. So we just about to embark on a Premiership season and stuff, and he's called me in and said, "You're not going to play the relevant games." It wasn't. I don't think I really had the choice to stay. Well, I didn't have the choice to stay. If I would have signed a 1-year contract extension through the injury, I wouldn't have played any games. That might have been the end of my career at that point, because. You do need the games as quickly as possible to get back. I think I was told by a physio, however long you're out, you need that amount of time to get back to where you were, if that's even achievable. Mm. So went to Crystal Palace. I think I played 40-odd games, and that, like, you know, that prolonged my career.
Yeah, you were flying again. Yeah.
I'm not sure about flying, but definitely back playing.
And you still obviously live in the area. You still have connections with the club.
Yeah.
Is Birmingham City still close to your heart? Even though it was all those years ago that you played for?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm here every Thursday with the 18s or 23s. I work in the community department, little bits of the commentary, like when needed. Like even the golf day the other day with Blue. So, still so much of my life at the moment is still Birmingham City and friends, family. There's lots of ties that keep me here.
Thanks for listening. That was Dele Adebola. I hope you enjoyed hearing from a player whose contribution to the Birmingham City cause shouldn't be underestimated. I think the one thing that leapt out for me from that conversation was the role agents played in shaping his career and how often they were looking to hang on the coattails of a striker who just simply wanted to play football. Dele, speaking afterwards, said he felt that with more money in the game now, that situation might even be more intense. Afterwards, he also explained to me why he had so many loan moves in his career, based on his desperation to play regular football. Anyway, he's a regular face down at Wast Hills now, and can also be found in the commentary box at St Andrews. Thanks to him for his time. And once again, thanks for your time. Hope you enjoyed listening, and keep right on.